This time of year means a lot of family holidays and gatherings, and for many of us, the annual deer hunt is one of the most anticipated. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. My guest today, Travis DeWitz, is a professional commercial photographer, is based in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and is the author of the new photo book. It's called Blaze Orange, Whitetail Deer Hunting in Wisconsin. And he joins us from our WPR studios in Milwaukee. And Travis, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Well, it's I've really enjoyed, as someone, and I'll say right out, I'm a hunter myself, a deer hunter myself, so let that be known. The Wisconsin, I really enjoyed going through your book. The Wisconsin Historical Society Press is the publisher, and, you know, in the little blurb it says, Blaze Orange is more than just a color in the upper Midwest. It's a tradition, a lifestyle, and a livelihood, and Wisconsin 600,000-plus hunters take part in it every year. What's your connection to deer hunting?
Well, I grew up as a deer hunter and in a deer hunting family, and it was a big part of what I did in my childhood. And as I got older, I backed away from it. I stopped finding time for hunting in my early 20s. And before I did the book, it was about eight years that I haven't been hunting. And being away from such a event every year, I had this nostalgic feeling for what I was missing. So after 8 years away from hunting, I grabbed my camera and I went out to document it.
That's pretty cool, and you've certainly done a nice job of it. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in here before we go any further. And are you a hunter? Do you participate, or do you have family members participating in the hunt? Questions about the book itself or photography connected to the outdoors? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can post your question or your comment there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. So sort of a feeling of wanting to kind of get back to it a little bit led you to put this book together then.
Yes. It's a big part of Wisconsin, and especially in northern Wisconsin, you really feel the small communities, smaller towns, and they're very unique compared to other places around the state. And especially if you're not a deer hunter, this book and the way I photographed it, I wanted to kind of bring you into the community of deer hunters from a window looking into what deer hunting is.
Where did you take these photos, and talk about that process.
So to capture the images for the book, I traveled all around the state. I went north, southwest, you know, every corner that I could find. And every day I kind of had, you know, I might have had a person or two that I planned or a place. There's a lot of, you know, taverns and butcher shops, and I kind of went to a location and I would photograph and had permission. And then from that point, I would travel around that particular area just looking for Blaze Orange. And once I found Blaze Orange, I would go out and approach the hunters and ask if I could have permission to photograph them, to walk with them, to, you know, sometimes it was a couple seconds. Sometimes I spent half a day with a group of people.
So, and how were the reactions typically when you approached somebody?
Well, I planned, you know, mentally I prepared that about 20% of the people would probably say, yes, come, you know, you can take some pictures. And I figured everybody else would say no. They're busy. They're in the middle of hunting. They have their processes that I'm just a distraction to them. And as I approached people and throughout the season, not one person turned me down. Everybody said yes, and they were all happy to be part of it. And it's the first time you're going to see a bunch of guys that want their picture taken.
Oh, man. Well, you mentioned guys, but you've really captured different generations of hunters, but also female hunters as well.
Yep, they're a big part of hunting in Wisconsin, and I think the sport's much more accepting to females than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. And one of the unique things that I ran across was especially the younger generation. So, you know, the first time hunters up to, you know, 16 to 18, 75% of the people I saw were girls, and I wasn't prepared for that. I figured at best it'd be 50-50.
What did you learn in talking with those girls?
A lot of them had an interest. A lot of them were very excited, especially if they got their first deer. Some were, I think, were just happy to be with their grandfathers or fathers, and I think that was a big part to kind of what they look up to, their dads, and they wanted to go in the woods with them.
So typically, when they were out with their adults, it would either be grandpa or dad or possibly mom too.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, we have Darlene on the phone, and let's go to her next. Darlene, thank you for calling. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to tell you that I've been hunting deer and other animals for over 40 years. And when my husband and I had four sons within the first 5 years of our marriage, I told him I was not going to be shopping in the mall. I was going to be hunting. So he taught all the boys and I how to hunt. And recently he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And my son, youngest son, took him in the woods one day and to sit with his dad because he could not be left alone in the woods anymore. And his dad told him, "I'm sorry you have to sit with me." And Brian said, "Dad, you sat with me on many of my hunts when I was first learning. Now it's my turn to sit with you."
Oh.
And so that's how it's been. And we've hunted elk and whatever ever since, and I've shot bear and elk and antelope, and been very blessed that my four sons and I still go hunting together. My husband gave us a real blessing when he taught us to hunt.
Oh, well, that's a wonderful story, Darlene. Travis, a comment from you?
Yeah, that's a very heart-touching story, and I'm sure even though he felt like he was holding your son back, being out in the woods with him sitting that day, I'm sure he loved every minute of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. And the boys also took their father on his last hunt out west, shooting antelope, and they had to help him shoot the gun.
Oh.
But I took him on his last fishing trip, and I had to run the boat. But we kept him as active as we could as long as we felt it was safe to do.
Oh.
But he certainly blessed our lives. It's helped keep us together forever. So thank you for taking my call.
Darlene, thank you so much for your call. You got me in tears here, to be perfectly honest about it. It's a wonderful story. And Travis, I think in some ways, you know, it's what Darlene had to say there is might be echoed in many other families here in this state.
It definitely is. And one reason, the way I shot the photos for the book is I try to keep the book timeless. I wanted you to feel like this could have been taken in the 70s. These could be taken in the 80s or 90s. And I wanted to do that because I wanted hunters that haven't been able to go hunting to be able to pick up this book and feel like they're back in the woods, feel like they're back at deer camp, feel like they're part of it again. And that's a big deal to me.
Darlene, I thank you again very much for calling. I want to give Anna in Hartford a chance to join next, then Bob from Mason. But let's go to Anna next. Anna, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just calling. I was introduced to deer hunting as a teenager. I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and so we were a deer hunting family. But I didn't actually really start deer hunting until about 10 years ago. And it was a conscious decision that I wanted to have basically clean, healthy food on the table for our family, and I couldn't think of anything better than going out and hunting it yourself and having wild-caught meat. And so now venison is pretty much our meat for the year. And mm-hmm. my husband and I both go hunting. We don't always both get a deer, but it feeds us for the year, and plenty of our family and friends also. And they're after their initial squeamishness of sharing this with non-hunters, they are fully enthusiastic about venison now.
Oh, another great story. Travis, a comment from you?
Yeah, venison is one of those things that, depending on where you hunt, it actually has a different flavor sometimes, depending if the deer are corn-fed or acorn-fed. So you can kind of get some variety and taste from meat. And it's nice to see that you, after, you know, never hunting before, going out for the first time, I think that's a rarity in a sport like this. I think most hunters in Wisconsin it's been kind of a family thing, and you're kind of raised into going hunting rather than picking up a gun, you know, in your 30s or 40s.
Yeah. Actually, Anna's comments about the meat itself and meat that's not been, farm-raised or pen-raised, that has found some favor with a lot of people. And I think we're seeing a lot of people, those people who are sort of like her, who've never hunted before, if you interview them or talk with them, a lot of times what Anna had to say will be echoed by those folks. At least that's been my experience in other shows that I've done in this area.
I agree. Having, 100% natural, it's you know where it came from, and that's a big movement right now, and it's a movement I'm part of.
Talking today with Travis DeWitz. Travis, a professional commercial photographer. He's based in Eau Claire and is the author of a new book. It's called Blaze Orange, Whitetail Deer Hunting in Wisconsin, a photo book. Joins us from our WPR studios in Milwaukee. And join in with your questions or comments. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page as well. Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. You can go there and post a photo or question or comment right there. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, visiting with Travis DeWitz about his book, Blaze Orange, Whitetail Deer Hunting in Wisconsin. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page, or the Facebook page for our program is The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you on that as well. Dennis in Green Lake, it's your turn. Thanks for calling, Dennis.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you about our deer camp. It started in Marin County in 1952 with my grandpa, two uncles, and my dad, and this will be our 62nd year. We're still camping out in the woods in the same spot. And we've had, children, grandchildren, and females at camp. It's just been a tradition that carries on through generations.
You know, it's I'm glad you called, Dennis. The group that I hunt with, I think we started hunting together in the 1960s, and we have a cabin in northern Wisconsin in the town of Barnes. And over the years, a couple of the guys have passed on, but then their kids have come up the line. So we started with 10. I think we've got about 16 now that show up at our camp every year. And it's the tradition of going back, and every year is I think, a big part of it for a lot of people, Dennis.
Yeah, we have a sign that lists all of our members that are deceased. And it's just great looking back through the photo albums from the pictures that started back in the 50s. The logbook of everything that happened, and it's great for the kids and grandkids to see it also.
I appreciate very much your call. And Travis, I'm sure you ran into some folks in your travels to do your photography that were like our caller who just called in.
It's probably one of the best parts of hunting to a lot of people. It's getting together with friends and family, and sometimes it's friends and family that you haven't seen since last year camp. And a lot of the camps are pretty rustic, and you know they've got their unique charms and a little fireplace in the corner, and they're usually pretty cozy. And others are larger cabins, but all in all, I think that deer camp is probably the biggest part of deer hunting.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you about that. I'm of the age now where I hardly care if I get a deer or see. I like to see some deer, but it's the experience of being up there with a gang of people that I've been with all these years that is probably a lot more important than actually getting a deer.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, we have more callers online. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Judith just let me know there's some very cool old photos from the 1930s on our Facebook page. As a comment to the show status, so on the right side of our Facebook page, and I'm going to have to take a quick look and find those photos. That's one of the things our last caller mentioned, and certainly something that our group has photos from all the years. And that's one of the things I like about your book, because it captures, as I looked at it, I thought this captures a lot of the experiences that I've had or my group has had over the years.
And I also ran into a lot of, like, all your registration points, so either, you know, they're either gas stations, restaurants, little stores. Most of them, or a lot of them, either had piles of Polaroids from all the previous year's hunters and their bucks or does, or they had actual photo albums completely organized year by year by year, and you go through and look at everybody else and your own photo if you're in there.
Yeah, one of the guys in our group writes and has written every year for most of the years a story every day of our hunt. So we have that going back 40 years or whatever, and it's quite a book now.
I can imagine you have to get that published soon.
It's a pretty good. He's a pretty good writer, and it's really a lot of fun at our annual planning meeting every year when we all get together for the first time of the year. He reads the last year's letter, and that's part of the tradition of our planning every year is to listen to the account of last year's hunt.
It's amazing how many traditions revolve around hunting. It really is. I heard about a lot of them. I think the main one that everybody has is there's always something pickled at deer camp.
Yeah, there's a pretty good food at our camp. I know that. And yeah, there's usually something pickled. Scott in Watertown, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to say that a lot of us as older hunters did grow up with the generations of hunters before us teaching us how, as we were young, youngsters growing up into a hunting community, but there's a lot of people out there that didn't have that. And I know there are adults that are saying, well, that's neat, but how do I start this? How do I get involved? And I just want everybody to know that DNR does have programs and classes for adults that want to learn how to hunt, and specifically for food, for putting a game on the table as a wholesome, you know, healthy alternative to what you find in the stores. And these classes are available. They can contact Keith Warnke with the DNR, and you know, he can get you in touch. I'm actually an instructor in the Watertown area, and we've got a new adult hunters that we took dove hunting and goose hunting and deer hunting, and we're continuing on with the season for this upcoming gun season, and we'll be doing some small game hunting. And so there's ways for adults that without this experience to get involved and to learn how to do it and start their own tradition of hunting, and you know, make their own new family group.
Well, Scott, you raise a really good point. Let me first, Travis, a comment from you.
I agree. It's. I think it is pretty tough to get into hunting if you weren't, you know, if you didn't grow up in a family that hunts. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of outlets and places like the DNR that will help you or I'm sure you can find you probably know a friend or two that knows someone that hunts.
That Learn to Hunt program is a great one, and it's as Scott was saying, Judith actually took part in for pheasants, I believe. She took part in the pheasant program. But as he said, there's all programs for all different kinds of hunting, including deer. And if you go to your DNR website, you're going to go to Learn to Hunt program. You're going to find out a lot more about it. It's a chance, really, to get exposed without without really having to have anything. I mean, pretty much the in the class, you're provided with everything, including the gun. So,
oh yes, absolutely, all the equipment from pheasant hunting with trained dogs to deer hunting to properties to hunt on. Everything is provided for a first timer to experience it and learn what you need, what you don't need, and what you have already at home that can, you know, serve as dual purpose for equipment for hunting and clothes. And one last thing I like to say is pickled deer heart. That's going to be my new adventure for this coming season. So.
That sounds good.
Pickled deer heart. Scott, that's one. We've certainly eaten heart and liver. It's the one time of the year I have liver, as a matter of fact, is during deer hunting season with a freshly killed deer. Typically, the liver is overnight in milk, and the next day it's with some bacon and mushrooms, and pretty good, pretty tasty that way. Again, thanks a lot, Scott, for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Ben in DePere a chance to join us. Ben, hi. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make it quick because I know you only got a few minutes left. I shot a doe. We had 12 guys in a hunting club up in Tigerton, and I shot a doe with 12-inch spikes.
Oh.
That's what I said.
You don't see that very often.
Yeah, a doe that had spikes. It's rare, but I've heard of it before as well. And frankly, typically when they've been shot, The hunter is assuming it's always as a buck, and then when you go to eviscerate the animal or cut the animal up, you say, "Oh, not a buck at all." And it's pretty easy to tell when you turn the buck when you turn the animal over if it's a doe or a buck. So that's an interesting story. See, that's one of those stories, Travis. I bet you heard a lot of stories when you were out photographing these hunters.
And I would call them stories, a lot of them. They were a little bit far-fetched, but it's just like fishing, you know. All the hunters had stories of deer camp and of hunting and past. You know, it used to be where you had to, you know, pick out a photo, but now with cell phones, everybody was showing me their camera phones, and they're going through, like, here's this year and here's a picture of the picture from 2 years ago. And so I saw a lot of deer and the stories that go along with them.
You know, I'm wondering about this whole business. You're absolutely right. I mean, I've taken my photos. I sat on my deer stand last year and some doe came through, and I stopped below my tree stand and I took some photos and immediately sent them off home.
Yeah.
So there's my daughter back in Madison and gets a text from me with a photo taken, you know, almost real time. She's looking at what I'm seeing.
The last time I went hunting where we would go, there was no cell phone service, so I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah, well, there wasn't for me until just the last year or two. So it's a new antenna went up in our area, up in the town of Barnes. And so now I have a lot better opportunity to do that sort of thing. And it's always a lot of fun. Have you got a strange story that you can tell us that you've heard from one of the hunters?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of a strange story. I'd probably have to think about that.
All right. Well, ponder that while we talk to some other folks here who are joining us. Jackie in Hillsboro, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am a member of a family that I happen to be the only female that hunts. And the men in the family are gracious enough to allow me to tag along with them and learn from them. And our family has grown so much in the past 2 years that we built a cabin that consists of 15 bunk beds and a few couches which we just invade this weekend, and it's great. And so many stories get told year after year. And you were talking about the stories that your camp reads every day.
Yeah.
I have my Uncle Steve. The board that would be above him, the bunk above him, is his diary every year. He writes down everything that happens, whether it be worldwide news that's important or animals that got shot, what piece of land they got shot on, who shot it, their first deer, their second deer, all the important information. And now as we bring more kids into the into our hunting group, they climb up there every year and they're up there reading it and asking for the stories. And it is an amazing family tradition to be part of. And I can't say enough about the positive effect it has. This is my favorite holiday, is deer season. It's my favorite holiday.
Well, I know why you're talking about that, Jackie. And you said your cabin sleeps 15, did you say?
Oh, it can fit probably 18 comfortably. The yeah. top bunk gets a little bit hot. They like to soak the furnace a little.
Well, we have sleeping for 18 as well in our cabin. So it started out a pretty small cabin, but now over the years it's gotten to be a much bigger cabin. We sort of added a room that doubled the size of the cabin is what we did.
And it's amazing how families grow. You know, it started with my great-great-grandfather years ago going up north to Black River Falls. And as my grandpa and his son came along, and then their son got old enough to go with, it got to be so big. So we built the cabin on our land in Hillsboro, and they all roll in. Some will come today, some will come tomorrow, and then the rest will show up by Friday night. And it is a blast, and I'm really lucky that my kids get to be part of it, because there's nothing better. There's just nothing better.
I love your enthusiasm, Jackie. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call.
One thing that's nice about these, like their yearly events, is especially for children, is I think as a child, your memories, you retain memories from like the big events or the yearly things that are special. So I think whenever you bring them deer hunting, those are the things that they'll remember for a lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jackie. John in Sussex, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello, Larry.
Appreciate your
call. I just called to thank Darlene, your first caller, for her story.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Brought tears to my eyes also, and that's why I do what I do. The effects of the, you know, to the family and everything else, it's just such a great tradition, and not because of killing animals or harvesting animals, just bringing everybody together. And the things that, you know, like that lady's son did for their father, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's just a great thing.
Yeah. It's you're absolutely right, John. And it reminded me of about my own time with my own dad, who actually I learned how to hunt from my dad, too. And near the end, the last couple of years that he hunted, I had him hunting near me, so, and got him a good place to stand and so forth, so that he didn't have quite the problems or quite the stress that he would have had in previous years. So I was when the tears came to my eyes when I was listening to Darlene, but I was partly because I was also thinking about my own dad.
Yes. And I'm only 51 years old. 5 years ago, I had a stroke, a mild one, but it limited my capabilities of hunting and, you know, my circulation and whatnot. Well, you know, thank God my son talked me into going this year. So we're headed up on Saturday.
Well, good for you, John.
It's great to hear.
Yeah, it's great to hear. No, you probably heard those kinds of stories as well, Travis.
Yeah, I heard that a lot, and I saw it a lot. I saw a lot of dads or grandfathers that were just there, but they weren't actually, you know, they weren't hunting, they weren't carrying a gun, but they were just there to be there and to experience it or to bring a younger generation into it and show them the ropes.
Looking at our Facebook page right now, and there's a great photo from Drake, a Green Bay group hunting at Otto's Cabin in Marinette County in 1938. Photo taken by his dad. The cabin is still a few miles from there today. And a couple of nice big bucks and a doe on what they call, of course, the meat pole or the deer pole. A great old photo, and one that I'm sure is treasured. You know, you wonder a little bit, Travis, with this whole business of cell phones and all those photos, what's going to happen to those photos? Are people actually making photos of them? How are they being stored? Are we just now, everybody has their own photos up on their phone?
There's definitely a debate on, you know, what's going to happen, because, like you said, a lot of the digital photos now, we don't print them. And so when your phone dies or when Facebook shuffles them to the bottom, are they gone forever, or will they be around? That's a tough question. Hopefully there's enough people that do print out their photos yet that have that archival standard that kind of lays around and will end up in an antique shop or something, or passed down through your family.
Julie in Chippewa Falls, turning to you next. Hi, Julie. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I am not a hunter, but an avid reader. I read a review on Travis's book and was fortunate enough to check it out of our local library. It is awesome.
Thank you.
I think you have really captured the phenomena of this part of Wisconsin culture and have made my Christmas gift giving simple. I will look forward to meeting you at the local store and your book signing in Eau Claire.
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye. Thanks a lot for calling in. Speaking of book signings, it sounds like you've got one coming up at Eau Claire.
I do. That's at the local store. And then I also have one today at 5 in Milwaukee. If there's a Milwaukee audience listening, I'll be at the Uptowner Bar in Milwaukee, which is on 507 West Center Street. And I believe it's the longest running bar, it's never closed. It's been open the longest. And it's also on the Historical Society list of buildings, I believe.
Oh, cool. Now go back again. Tell me that again, the name of the building and the address.
That's a Uptowner Tavern, 5007 West Center Street in Milwaukee.
Oh, and what time is that again?
That's 5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7 p.m. Sounds like a good time. Eric in Madison, your turn. Thanks, Eric, for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call. I just tuned in, and I was really just thinking about, I didn't grow up, my family didn't grow up as a hunting family. We were fishermen, but not hunting. But in the last couple of years, I'm in my late 30s right now, and I just started hunting with my father-in-law, and he had not been hunting for about 15 years. He had all daughters, and so they were not really interested in the sport. But we've kind of started a little tradition too, and last year was the first year that I got a deer, and he's all fired up, and he bought a new fridge in his garage, and everything, you know, just getting ready for the season. We're going out tomorrow to check our stands and get ready, you know, sighting our scopes and everything, and get ready for it. It's just a great tradition that I can't wait to pass on to my 3-year-old, who is eventually old enough to carry a rifle too. It's something that I feel like I missed out on a little bit when in my childhood, but I think it's a great tradition, and I'm really excited to be able to pass this on to my son as well.
Oh, thanks for that great comment, Eric. And Travis, comment from you.
Well, I wish you the best of luck this year, and I'm sure you'll be doing it for many years to come, and raising your child up to do it, and making memories.
And thanks again. And Travis, is, you know, part of your travels, again, for your book, Blaze Orange, you traveled around the state, and you did this all in one hunting season, and taking photos. And I know you spent some time with a DNR game warden, Scott Thede, as well. What was that like?
It was interesting. I wanted the book to show, you know, all the sides of what deer hunting is, and writing with him was a great experience. And he kind of let me know what his job was, and he's out there to maintain safety and be of assistance if needed, but not really there to disturb anybody's hunting.
Yeah, Were you able to spend a lot of, or any time in cabins and camps?
I spent quite a few nights in not overnight, but after I would photograph places and with people and out in the woods all day long, and going to the bar to shoot the Packer game and the crowd that would show up there on the Sunday during the season. But at night, I would go to cabins and all the deer camps and kind of experience and hear the stories and take in all that rustic feel.
What are you going out this weekend?
This weekend, I will be at OW Sport and Liquor this Saturday in Owen, Wisconsin.
Owen, sure.
That's kind of where the book kind of started off, and they're a big part of the book. So we're doing a book signing, and I'm going to watch all the hunters bringing their deer in to register.
Ah, it sounds like a great plan. Travis, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Travis DeWitt's professional commercial photographer. He's based in Eau Claire, the author of this new photo book. It's called Blaze Orange, Whitetail Deer Hunting in Wisconsin. And he joined us from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in Milwaukee. Great to have him along. And certainly he did, I think, a nice job of talking about the culture and traditions of deer hunting in Wisconsin. Coming up next, Gary Engberg back with us to share a lot of practical advice for getting the most out of your hunt. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of stories to tell, and you may have a story or two to share as well as you call in today at 800-642-1234. Back with Gary Engberg right after this little break.